Welcome, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you, Will and the band, for leading us in worship. One notice was just to remind every so often, I do say that, we offer prayer during the service, just after the talk, before you rush back, but I know some have to do so immediately after the talk or before the talk finishes, which I understand completely. I mean, who wouldn't go back rather than listen to me? But we always have, between 5:15 and 6:15 on a Wednesday evening, the opportunity to come and be prayed for in church. Just drop in for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever, and there will be someone here, normally one of the clergy and one of the PCC, one of the elders of the church. It's great to have that opportunity to pray. So do, if you know you'd like prayer, then do come and grab it. May I read to you a few verses from Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, I'm beginning to read at verse 28. God says through Isaiah, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and will not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Probably most of us have some kind of routine as we come into the city every morning. I know exactly which part of the platform I always aim for, so I can get onto the into the carriage on the central line, so I emerge just right to go up the escalator at Bank Tube Station. And always when I come out, or almost always when I come out to the tube station in the morning, I grab a copy of City AM. Not that I understand fully most of what is written there, but, you know, it's just I've got into that habit, and that habit is what I do. But there is one article every day in the office politics session, which can be usually very interesting indeed. On Tuesday of last week, so just after most of us had got back from our Christmas breaks, there was an article with the sub-editor's title underneath it. It's 2020, and you're probably already feeling stressed and tired. I thought, well, if that's happening after 2 days back, this is really a very depressing thought. The writer was highlighting in what he wrote that everyone round here, that's you, high-powered people, wants to be more productive and to get what he calls more juice out of our work. An entire productivity industry, apparently, has been created which promises to maximize our efficiency. Sadly, it's passed the Church of England by, but I know generally in the city that's clearly the case. The only problem, according to the author's view, that after a brief period of higher than usual productivity, we find ourselves even more stressed and even more anxious. I was rather glad it hadn't touched the Church of England. Stressed enough yesterday, I'd finished all the meetings I had by 7:30, thought I'd just type up my sermon notes for today, and suddenly realized that in a stupid moment, I had put all my notes into that envelope that I sent off to the Inland Revenue with all my taxes. So it was going to arrive by 1 p.m. today, you know, because you have that, you know, after the 31st of January, it's £100 a day. And I thought the someone in the HMRC opening up and finding about putting your strength in God. I only hope a revival breaks out in the Inland Revenue and he charges us less than they naturally would. But in response to all this increased stress, it was suggested that we do something and download an app that they recommended would make all the difference. It apparently on this app you'd find a wide range of calming music and nature sounds and some stories to help you fall asleep at night. It didn't to me sound the best possible response that we could make. Of course, the article implied that these feelings were particular to the 21st century, whereas we can see from these verses that people in every generation have felt the same way. In verses, first line of verse 29, first line of verse 30, there are references to the weary. In verse 29, it refers to those who feel they lack the inner resources to deal with the pressures of the situation in which they find themselves, so that they end up feeling overwhelmed by the demands that are being made on them. First line of verse 30, it's a reference to people who are facing objectively demanding or unreasonable circumstances. Those who, without any exaggeration whatsoever, can point to the intensity of the pressure with which they're living. And Isaiah underlined that this wasn't any reflection on the ability of any of his readers who felt like this. He uses a word translated here as youths in verse 30. And it speaks of people who are in peak condition, who are the chosen, those of real ability, those to whom others look as real role models professionally. And Isaiah is saying even they can feel overwhelmed by life, just as any of the rest of us might. And the response that God, through Isaiah, gives us is at first has the feel of a bit of a letdown. He says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And one's instinctive feeling is, yes, that's great. But it's he's wanting to try and get across that it's our relationship with the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that enables us to receive the resources that we need. We're to partner with him in seeking this renewed strength. The phrase actually puts the ball slightly in our court because it means we're to keep on putting on fresh strength to equip us for the jobs and being believers in the places where we work. It's not just getting a grip, as we read in verse 29. For God promises to share with you and me the resources that he has. He gives strength, we read in verse 29. We simply have to ask for it and to accept it. We find the Holy Spirit giving us, as we do so, fresh resources, a greater confidence in Jesus. So our instinctive first reaction when the nightmares happen is to throw up a prayer for help. It increases our trust that we can sort out the situation that's challenging, our patience with difficult people, and unreasonable demands. The Apostle Paul knew all about this, and about 600 years later, he wrote to those Christians in the church at Philippi, when telling them all the challenges he'd faced, all the hassles, pressures, and disappointments that he'd gone through. And he said, I'd learned that I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. That just as Isaiah appointed to the Father, so he was pointing to his relationship with Jesus, that in every conceivable circumstance, literally it says everywhere and in all things, he'd been able to do his job as an apostle and mature as a Christian and a human being because of the strength that Jesus gave him. Like Isaiah, he'd realized he needed to keep on putting on that strength. And today, for you and me, Jesus wants us to do the same. It starts with us being honest about the specific pressure points we're wrestling with, and then seeking his help and saying, I need your strength. I need your resources. I'll work with you, but you've got to give me what I need if I'm going to respond as I want to the situation in which I find myself. Before you go back, will you just be honest with the Lord about the challenges of the moment? Just in that 3-second prayer. And as you walk through the door, just be saying, I want your strength. I want your strength.